This is a message from Embassy Church in Belmore, Sydney. We hope that it's a blessing to you.
All we had in the country, the ABC. But when I was preparing this message, I thought of that little video. Just something reminded me about it. So I've entitled my message, here it comes, some of the scary ones and some of the hairy ones and all the people and some. First week is 12:30. I thought I'd keep it a concise little title there. But really, you know, that's part of what our series Spirit and Truth involves. It just reminded me of that. When my mum first became a Christian back in the mid-80s, I was boarding in Dubbo going to school there, and I got a phone call from mum who was just ecstatic about her newfound conversion. And she said something to me that stuck with me. She said, "The women, it's just amazing, the women all sing their prayers." And I thought, okay, that sounds cool. But that statement did not prepare me for what I experienced. When I visited the church, these six middle-aged women standing in a semicircle, singing in tongues, something that I had never heard before, and one of the women regularly, almost every week, prophesying in King James English, "Thus saith the Lord," and then she'd launch into it. And my best friend's dad partnering with her, praying in tongues over people as he discern spirits. I mean, there were some of the scary ones and some of the hairy ones and all the people and some in this tiny little church. And as a 14-year-old stepping into that, it was like, whoa, what is going on? And while it was kind of scary, there was something that was so vibrant and so attractive about it, something so strong that from that day, I've never left the church. And I found the church before I found Jesus. You know, there was something just so incredible about this vibrant little community that was moving in the gifts and was powerful and was strong for us as this kind of broken little family that was stepping into it. And so today we're going to talk, my job is to just overview the series and kind of, I guess, give us a foundation. And then we're going to continue to build over the next five or six weeks, just with the specific teaching from 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. When we think about the Holy Spirit, he's there right throughout the Bible. Beginning in creation, the Holy Spirit was there. The difference we see in the Old Testament is that the Holy Spirit, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon people. So he came upon the kings, he came upon the prophets, he came upon specific people for a task, even came upon the children of the nation of Israel. But when that task was finished, or when they rebelled, or when, you know, whatever happened, that God would remove his spirit. So we see the Holy Spirit coming and going in people's lives throughout the Old Testament. Then when Jesus came, it began to change. He embodied the Holy Spirit. Of course, he was God, so he you know, was the Holy Spirit, but he also was fully man. But we see that he embodied it, and we see the miraculous and the gifts of the Spirit happening in Jesus' life when he was on the earth. Then when Jesus was about to go, he said to his disciples in John chapter 14, 16, verses 16 to 17, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, someone to speak for you who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. You know him because he lives with you now and will be in you." So there's something quite different that Jesus tells those disciples, those few faithful ones, that this was what was going to happen. So Jesus died, rose again. For 50 days, they just waited. That they were together, they were fearful, they were wondering what was going to happen. And after about the 50th day was, just happened to fall on Pentecost, which actually was already a thing. For the Jewish, for the nation of Israel and Jews, Pentecost was already one of their festivals or celebrations. Is that right, Matt? Yep. So here they were, and it says there that in Jerusalem, Jews and devout men gathered to celebrate Pentecost, so to thank God for his goodness to them with their crops, etc. And at the same time, this little group of believers was meeting together every day, wondering what was going to happen next. And we know that passage that very well in the book of Acts, chapter 2, it says they were together in this place, in a room together. And somehow, some of these Jews and devout men got invited over to the house. So then we have what we know happened on that day, which was Pentecost, which was the absolute game changer for everything. And they had what was a sight and sound experience, this incredible, profound experience happened when they were all together in this place. It says there was a sound like a rushing wind. I don't know if you've ever been in a storm or a cyclone, and people say the sound, even a bushfire, the sound was incredible. So this incredible sound began to happen. And it says that they saw, so the sight, tongues as of fire on each other. Commentators say they don't know whether it was literal or whether it was just this energy, this enthusiasm, as the Holy Spirit moved through like a rushing wind and filled them. And it says they began to speak in unknown tongues, which was full languages. So the devout Jews and those that had just happened to kind of get invited over, if they were from Macedonia, they begin to hear their own language. Oh my goodness, this guy's speaking in Macedonian, this guy's speaking in Greek. So it was this incredible kind of confirmation that what was happening here was something pretty powerful and pretty profound. And at that moment, the church was born. They went from being just a group of little believers together to actually the Church of Jesus Christ. And from there, churches began to get planted. And 2,000 years later, we still live in that same fullness of what they experienced at Pentecost, because it ushered in this absolute game changer for the people of God, where the Holy Spirit was not just on people, the Holy Spirit was in people. And He never leaves and He never forsakes us. And an example of this happening, one of our previous ministers, Tony Hallow, his wife Eunice. If anyone knows Eunice, she's not a demonstrative person at all, but she's an absolute firebrand when it comes to her faith. And she was at this conference, she was telling me this story, she was at this conference one day, and the speaker at the conference just said, it's a big conference, would you just turn to the person beside you and pray for them? So Eunice turned to the lady beside her and began to pray for her, and the woman started sobbing, and at the end she said, how did you know how to speak Persian? Eunice said, I don't know how to speak Persian. What did I say? She said, you told me that my children were going to be okay and that God heard my prayers and He was going to be faithful. He was going to bring my children back. Eunice was just as blown away as the woman was, because she does not know how to speak. The woman was Iranian and Eunice doesn't know how to speak Persian at all. So it's still happening. I said that to say, we've got it. We've got everything they had. So as I said, the churches were being planted. Paul planted a little church in the city of Corinth. And a few years later, after that Paul got saved, then he began planting churches. This little church in Corinth began to grow and it became a big church. And a few years later, Paul heard that there was some pretty rough stuff happening. There were some hairy ones and some scary ones, and perhaps they were there on the day of Pentecost and heard gift of tongues, but they kind of started to elevate it. So if you could speak in another language or you could speak in tongues, you were somehow, you know, a super Christian, you were something really special. And they began to kind of elevate it, and they were putting everybody down. So there was kind of strife in the church. People were feeling hurt. People had this wrong sense of that they were something particular special. So Paul writes the book of Corinthians as some good sound doctrine and teaching for this church to help them with what they were going through. So we come to chapters 12 to 14, which is what we're going to focus on over the next few weeks. I don't have time, of course, in the time I have to go through all of that. So what I thought is I'll just pick up, I guess, some of the main ideas in the chapters, and then over the weeks we can look at the specific gifts. So in chapter 12, spiritual gifts are for the body. They're for us. They're for us as the Church of Jesus. And I just wrote down a few of the things that are important in that chapter. There are different spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit decides which gift we receive, or gifts we receive. And the spiritual gifts are given so that we can help each other. That's really key. That's just so important, so that we don't kind of get this wrong idea of what the gifts are about, elevate ourselves, elevate certain gifts. It's just here we've got this body. And then Paul goes on to kind of, which is an analogy that he uses a lot, think about the church as a body. It's got different parts. You might think, wow, wouldn't it be great to have more eyes so that I can see where, you know, I can see in the back or whatever. But if we don't have a neck to turn the head, the eyes are no good. They're no help to us. And if you've ever hurt your finger, you know how much you need your finger. Or you tried to do up your shoelaces without a finger, you know you need every single part. And it even goes into this idea that some parts are really fragile, but they're the most important. Our brain is so vital, but it's so, so fragile. That's why we've got a skull to kind of look after it. And so it is Paul's trying to get across this idea that you are the body of Christ. You are all important, and the ones that don't seem as important, actually, those things are often the most important. Amen. And the gifts that you think are just so simple and so easy, like welcoming out the front, whatever it is, that's actually so important to how the body grows. So this idea that we all matter, we've all been given a gift.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about yourself or how you feel about the Holy Spirit in you, but this teaches us that we've all been given something, and we've been given it not for ourselves, we've been given it for each other, so that this church continues to grow and to be built. And then it says, earnestly desire the most helpful gift rather than the most spectacular. Over the years, I've been to so many conferences and so many meetings where somebody up the front has this amazing gift, prophetic gift, and we all flock to see that person, and while that is not necessarily bad in itself, it's not about the spectacular up here. It's not about super people. It's about everyone, because we all have the Holy Spirit living within inside us, and we all have the gifts that he gives.
Yeah.
Some of the most profound moments for me have been just one-on-one. I remember Ken and I arriving to work one day, and we walked into the very ordinary church office kitchen. And Betty Galimas was there, our friend Betty, and she said, Ken, I had a dream about you last night. She said, you were cowering in the corner. And you know, she said, that's not, and it wasn't Ken after his COVID test either.
It was before his COVID test.
You were cowering in the corner, and that's not like you, Ken. Does that mean anything to you? And it was so profound, because Ken had been considering study and he felt so inadequate, because he left school at the age of 15, had, you know, just felt totally inadequate to study, and was trying to work out whether he would or he wouldn't, and that dream just spoke straight into that. He said, yes, that's me, I need to study. So he stepped up, he did that course, he did another course, and it opened doors, and it really changed or broadened his whole ministry. And it was just in a very humble kitchen with one of our good friends, Betty, who has this incredibly prophetic gift in her dreaming. And it comes right through her family, her father, her grandfather, they all have this gift in dreaming. And God has taken that and added this Holy Spirit supernatural edge to it. And it was a life changer for us. It was incredible. And it was the right gift. It was a gift we needed. If we'd come in and Betty started speaking in Persian to us, while that would have been spectacular, it would not have helped Ken at all. So it's finding out, it says in that chapter, earnestly desire the right gift. What is the gift that God needs me to have in order to build this body and to minister to you? And what are the gifts that God needs you to use in your life to build up others around you? Then, smack bang in the middle of two chapters that talk about the gifts is the chapter on love. And quite a miracle, actually. I was getting this sermon ready, and I thought I'll just copy, save as another PowerPoint presentation. I was thinking, how would I, you know, write down these things about love? And this was already there from a previous sermon. So it's a miracle, mini miracle. But there it is, love. And there's all those incredible, very practical, describing words about love. And have you ever wondered why, you know, we read, this is read at so many weddings, why it is that brides and grooms are being reminded that prophecy will cease and tongues will cease, but love will never cease? The reason is that it's all about the gifts. This passage has been written all about the gifts. So when we use our gifts and when we build each other up, this is the measure. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy other people's gifts. It doesn't expose other people with our gifts. It's this kindness, and it's the way, it's actually the way, it's the Holy Spirit. And that's the way he works in our lives. Holy Spirit works in love. And Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you know, this is how, guys, this is how you need to be operating in these gifts. And that will protect you from the misuse of the gifts and the divisions that arise. Man, over the years, I've seen people use their gifts in very different ways, where it can be quite abusive and it can be quite scary and hairy. But I've even found in my life, when the Holy Spirit is working to me in some of the most powerful ways, the Holy Spirit has been working to convict me of sin and to bring me to a place of repentance. But he always does it in love. He allows dignity. He covers a multitude. He allows me the opportunity to come to him. And so however we use our gifts, we need to use them in that way in love. And we'll look at that some more. That would be a great chapter just for you to continue to read in over these next weeks, just to see how the gifts operate and how they work well in the church. And then we come to the last chapter, chapter 14. And I put this up there because the Corinthian church were a lot like us. It says that they were a church that had a very flattened structure, so everyone could have a go. People were just using their gifts. They were allowed to use their gifts. And Paul, even though there was stuff that was happening that wasn't great, Paul was not telling them, you can't do it. Paul was encouraging them, saying, guys, keep going. We just need to kind of have some things in place. We need some spiritual gift protocol. We can't have 27 gifts in tongues and nobody interpreting. We've got to have a protocol there. But Paul was saying to them, guys, keep going with it. It's awesome. And Paul's saying, just keep it, just make it clear. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words that somebody understands than 10,000 words that no one understands. And so with our gifts, there's this idea. I love that it is just so practical, even though it's incredible. It's amazing. So we come to we come back to us. And we're going to continue to unpack this more and more. But the last slide just says there, God is always good and faith is never safe. Somebody said to me once, if we're not stepping out in faith, faith can never be 100%, you can never be 100% sure, otherwise it's not faith. And I put that picture up there. There's, I don't know whether anyone's ever read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, but there's this beautiful part in it where little Susan is meeting, about to meet the lion Aslan, and she's talking to the beaver, and the beaver says, Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Oh, says Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And you know, sometimes because we've got the scary ones and the hairy ones and it feels unsafe, I don't feel anything like me. We kind of go, I'd rather not go there. I'd rather play it safe. I'd rather just pray for people than step out. And I don't know how many of you are on our prayer hotline, but man, there are needs there that need a miracle. Every week we pray for things and people in our church need a miracle. People in our church need a word of wisdom. People in our church need a word of knowledge. And we can pray and we continue to pray and God answers powerfully. But I tell you, sometimes I kind of feel, I I would just love to see a miracle like that happen in people's lives. And I wonder whether God, I actually think God wants us to begin to move more like that as a church. We have the same spirit in us that raised Christ from the dead. He's given us each a gift to use to build up his body. You might have the word of wisdom that is a miracle. You might have the dream that helps somebody change their direction in life. You might have a gift of hospitality. You might have a gift to teach. Whatever it is, and we'll look at that. God, I believe God wants us to live in a supernatural realm more than we have ever known before. And so I just for the next 5 or so minutes, thought today that I'd just like to give you some space to consider that. Is there, and I had two questions. How do you feel about the fact that the Holy Spirit has given you a gift to use to build up this body? How does that make you feel? And secondly, do you know what it is? Do you know what God's given you? And I just thought, you know, this beautiful Holy Spirit that operates in love, that never exposes us, that is always kind to us, he wants to touch your heart today. And I don't know where you're at. Maybe you know, I know we have some people here that move so powerfully in gifts. Maybe God's got a new one for you. Maybe he wants to speak to you more about it. But for some of you, maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe things have been said to you that haven't been in love. Let that be the measure and allow the Holy Spirit to heal you, because maybe you can realize that it wasn't him based on the love chapter. But can I just invite you now to stand with me? Just knowing that for each of us who give our life to Jesus, Holy Spirit is not just in this place. He's inside of you. He's filling you afresh. And if we can just bring our minds to focus and to be still enough to just hear what he might be saying to us this morning. Is he wanting to speak to you about a gift you've buried? Is he wanting to speak to you about a fear that stops you stepping out? Is he wanting to speak to you about something? Then let's just stand for a moment in his presence. Holy Spirit, we just invite you now. We thank you. We believe, Lord, that Pentecost was a game changer. That you are our
Thank you.